Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, I'm Meredith Curtis. Welcome to Finish Well Radio. I am so excited that you're here. We are going to talk about some homeschooling adventures, and it is going to be fun, and I'm going to share some of my best times and some of my worst times and just some things that have been really exciting and made homeschooling an adventure in our house. So today, we are going to be talking about the kitchen explosion. And I bet you're probably wondering, what on earth is she talking about? Well, I'm just going to jump right in and tell you. We were studying the Hundred Years' War. And that, if you don't know, is a war between England and France. It lasted a little over 100 years, actually. But they rounded it down and called it the Hundred Years' War. And it was interesting in a lot of ways, of course, because at the end of it, France and England were disentangled and England was able to kind of move on and colonize in America and things like that. But what was really interesting about the war was that gunpowder, which had been around for centuries in China, was now coming to Europe, and they were beginning to use gunpowder. They were beginning to use guns in war, and that changed everything. And the thing about it was the battlefield was so smoky that it got very, very confusing in the middle of a battle. Here I am. I want to make it exciting for the kids, and I want them to really remember about the Hundred Years' War and all the new inventions like guns for Europe and things like that. So I was trying to figure out what to do, and then I remembered that when Laura and I, we were also that year teaching a chemistry lab, and when we were teaching that chemistry lab, we had a friend, and he brought in some smoke bombs, and we took them outside, and he set them off, and they just released smoke. They didn't explode. They didn't do anything. They just released smoke. So it seemed very safe, and so I asked him, well, where did you get those? And he said, oh, I made them. You made them? Well, could you make me some? Because I would like to use them for my history class. So he said, well, hey, if your husband's home, why don't I come over and I can just make them there? It'll be easier. Well, neither of us knew that my stovetop was hotter than his. So he comes over. My husband and I are chatting with him. He's on our stove with my favorite pot. He's stirring stuff in my favorite pot. And we're all just standing there, and all of a sudden, this beautiful, beautiful pink light goes shooting out of the pan up to the ceiling, up to the ceiling, and boom, it explodes. Now, that was not my favorite moment in homeschooling. I was terrified, and Mike is handing me stuff and saying, you know, get this stuff out of the house, get the kids out of the house, so we're getting all the kids, and meanwhile, the moms and their children from co-op are arriving, and they see all this smoke pouring out of our house, and so I'm like, oh, well, we're just going to wait and not go in the house yet, because I was making smoke bombs this morning, and one of them exploded, and the house is filled with smoke. Anyway, it was quite embarrassing. And I said bye to some of my favorite pots and pans, my countertops, my ceiling. We actually had a lot that we had to do. And let me tell you, if you want to talk about embarrassing, try explaining to the insurance company, well, you see, I'm a homeschool mom, and I really wanted this history lesson to come alive for my kids. And so, yeah, you know, I was just mixing some things on the stove and they exploded. And anyway, so all of that to say, we had quite an adventure. In the end, when the fire was out and everything was safe, I asked the kids, I said, hey, this will make the lesson come alive. Come into the house and just look at, see how the smoke is filling my whole house and it's hard to see each other? Well, that's what the battlefield was like during the Hundred Years' War. So I actually was able to share my point, although it didn't quite go how I had planned. And so I am going to share some fun ideas of how you can bring adventure and life and excitement into your homeschooling. But I do want you to know ahead of time that things will not always go as planned. And that's okay, because that is part of the adventure. And later, you have great stories to tell, as long as everyone is safe. And I just do want to say this. I am a knuckler for safety, and that was very out of character for me to do. And I have really taken my safety up a notch. And so, you will never find me doing that again, or promoting it. And so, don't do this at home. But I want to talk today about the quest for adventure. Some of us are really not adventure people, and we would rather have everything be safe and cautious. But some of us have kids, and they just want that adventure. And so you're probably wondering, oh my goodness, where did this come from? And I believe that desire for adventure is put into our hearts by the Lord himself, because this is the Lord. Think about what he has done, the flood, the Tower of Babel, and how he dispersed people all over the world. But, you know, he let them keep building for a while, and Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and the fiery furnace where he saves the day, and Daniel in the lion's den where he saves the day, and Lazarus where Jesus waits, even though he knows that now when he gets there, Lazarus will already be dead. And they come and they say, hey, Lazarus is sick and the sisters want you to come and heal him. And he waits on purpose so he can go and he can do this dramatic miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead and foreshadowing his own death and resurrection. So exciting. The resurrection itself. What an adventure. How exciting. He's dead. No, he's alive. And so we have this built in quest and desire for adventure because we're made in the image of God. And I think that is really exciting sometimes. Sometimes if you're the mother of someone who really loves adventure, it's horrible because you're thinking, oh, I'm not supposed to worry, but I'm worrying. Oh no. We do want to have fun when we homeschool. And we want to have adventures. It's okay if you try things and they don't work out, but don't set your house on fire. Okay? Promise me, don't set your house on fire. Anyway, so the first thing that we can do to bring adventure into our homeschooling is we can do something brand new, something we've never done before. For example, fly an airplane. There's an airport near us. And for an introductory fee of like $59 for one lesson, you can go up and have a lesson. And, you know, you can even touch the controls in this little plane. And wouldn't that be an exciting homeschool day? Now, you would have to eat hot dogs and save some of your grocery money up for a while to do that. But you definitely could. Pick up an instrument. Maybe your family is not musical, but you could start playing an instrument. Or maybe they are musical, but they've never played a didgeridoo, or maybe they've never played a bass guitar or something like that. So trying something new, picking up an instrument, your family, they could write a song or a poem or a novel or a screenplay. They could write a screenplay and produce their own movie. The sky is the limit. You don't have to be an expert to try something. You could experiment with a new pet. And there's all kinds of neat things that you could have. Now, I'm not recommending you go out and get a python or a tiger or anything like that. But even with your pet, say you already have a pet. I remember when I was a little girl, my mom said, let's put Smokey into a cat show. And I thought, what? A cat show? What is a cat show? And so the whole process of putting our cat in a cat show, and he won a little second place ribbon, that was such an adventure. It was all brand new to us. We never knew anything about showing animals. And so maybe you have a dog and you could try to put him in a dog show. Or maybe you have a horse and you could put your horse in a horse show. A horse in itself, we lived in suburbia, my mom and my dad and my sister and I, and my sister just had this dream of having a horse. And she prayed about it, she worked and saved money, and she got mom and dad on board, and she ended up getting this horse named Skipper. And she boarded the horse, and she learned so much about taking care of him when he was sick, just taking the regular daily care of feeding and grooming and all that stuff. And so what started out as a dream ended up being so educational. So if your child has a dream, don't necessarily write it off. I have a friend and they love horses and their family can't afford a horse. So listen to this. The little guy got a job working at a barn, and he goes to the barn and he grooms the horses and cleans them twice a day. Now, what else is a benefit after doing that for so long? He gets to ride them. So even though he can't have his own horse, he's actually able to be with horses, take care of them, and ride them. And so that's very exciting for him. So the first thing to bring the adventure into homeschooling or back into homeschooling is to try something new. The second thing is to do things a different way. Now, Laura and I both did geography with all of our children. So that's a total of 9 children. And we had 2 younger boys that were the same age. And so what we did is when they would finish their year of geography, which was sometime in middle school, they had to graph and draw their own world map. I mean, it was painstaking. It was incredible. And the idea was that for the rest of their life, they will know where every country in the world is. Of course, then boundary lines change, you know. So, and now there's new countries here and new countries there. But they did that. And so the babies came along, Laura's baby and my baby, and we're like, let's do something new. And I said, hey, why don't they draw a world map on our bathroom wall? And so they did. And so they had to graph on the wall. They had to copy a map painstakingly on the wall and then paint it with bright colors and then outline it. And wow, that was the exact same thing that our other kids did, but it was in a different way. And every time I look at the wall in my bathroom, every morning when I take a shower, I think, wow, that was so cool. And what a bright, cheery wall I have now in my bathroom. Trying something new. What about making a website? Maybe when you're, okay, we're not going to have any history tests. You're not going to write any history papers. What I want you to do is create a website. Now, if they have to create a website every single year for every single subject, that's not very exciting. But if it's something different and something new, then that's exciting. How about interview someone who was there? It's getting harder and harder to find people that served in World War II. As time is marching on, the World War II veterans are dying off. But what if you're learning about World War II and your children interview someone who was there and they tell them about the battle? I mean, leaving some details out. Or what if you know someone who fought in Vietnam? We have a friend who was a tunnel rat. He actually would crawl into the tunnels to look for the landmines that the North Vietnamese left for them. So he has so many exciting stories, and a lot of them he really doesn't want to talk about. But what an exciting thing to interview someone who was there. That's really, really thrilling. Another thing that our kids have loved over the years, and again, you don't need to overdo this, but we've had them make radio shows. And so they've used sound effects and done different voices, and it's really, really been fun. And we found out our kids are really creative and they can imitate almost anyone and anything. So it's pretty neat. But those are just some things to think about. We don't always have to do the usual. We don't always have to do reports or write papers. We can step out of the box and do something exciting, something that's fun. Another thing that you can do is get your hands dirty, get messy, jump in the mud. One of my things I opted out of is we had friends who wanted to take our kids on a wet walk. And I'm thinking, wet walk? Snakes, alligators, yeah, I don't think so. But they took our kids, and our kids went, and they had such a good time. Now, they came home filthy. Filthy, filthy, filthy. They spent like an hour in the shower when they were done. They handed me their clothes. I put it in the washer. I washed it. I washed it. I washed it. I washed it again. You know, they were absolutely filthy. But what an adventure to walk through the Everglades, which is basically not the Everglades. We're a little bit north of the Everglades, but not that much. Another thing is dissections. Now, I'm not a big dissection person either. My labs in college, I had my worst lab was when they had a bunch of frogs, and they probably don't do this anymore, but you had to hook the frog's leg up, and there would be this little machine that would measure the muscle contractions, but it actually killed the frogs. It was very sad. I don't know if they still do that. But anyway, so here we are in lab, and there is a big box of frogs that they're all alive when you start this experiment. And so someone, as a joke, dumped them on the floor. Well, I was up on that lab table screaming bloody murder. My lab GA finally had to pick me up, carry me out of the room. And I thought, you know, I don't know about the lab. I had a lot of just things happen, so that one of my lab GA said, hey, listen, if you just don't come to lab, I'll pass you. And I said, hey, I hate lab. And I think he could tell, because I just wasn't doing very good in it. Now, give me a test. I was fine. But labs are exciting. And they don't have to always be the typical run-of-the-mill lab. I remember for physics, Katie Beth built a trebuchet with her dad, and that was super cool. And then Juliana and Zach, Laura's son Zach, they built a potato gun, and that was super cool. And we all got to go out and shoot the potato gun, and it was really, really fun. So you don't have to always do something new. It doesn't always have to be the same. Another thing for getting your hands dirty is just getting out and digging in the garden. There is nothing more fun than gardening and growing your own fruits and vegetables. And if you don't like the dirt, you can get one of those tower gardens and just spray the food on them, I guess. But digging in the dirt is really fun. Going to the beach, digging in the sand, building stuff with the sand, and getting out art supplies and just getting your fingers dirty, like sculpting and painting, finger painting. You don't have to be 6 to finger paint. You could be 14 and finger paint. One of the things that we love when we study American history is to pan for gold. And we just get a baby pool, and we fill the baby pool with dirt and water. And then we hide on the bottom under, like, the dirt and water, we hide little pieces of gold. Well, actually, what we hide is the little chocolates in gold foil. And so then they have to get little sand sifters, and they pull up little bits of dirt, and they sift out everything until they actually find all those little gold things. Now, do they get dirty? Yes. Is that an inside thing? No. But they have so much fun doing it. It's so fun to squish things and touch things and move things and just run and jump into a mud puddle. There's just something very, very exciting about that. Of course, it's not always as fun for mommy, who has to wash everything. We're going to take a break, and we're going to hear a word from our sponsor, and then we will be right back, and we will continue our show, The Kitchen Explosion. But what it's really about is having a grand adventure in your homeschool. We'll be right back.
It's more fun to learn history in the kitchen. Cook and bake your way through time and add fun to history class with our history cookbooks. Ancient History Cookbook starts with Garden of Eden recipes and progresses until the time of Jesus in the Roman Empire. American History Cookbook begins with recipes from Native Americans and ends with American recipes from modern times. Eating food from the time period we're studying has been a hit in our house, especially with the boys. You can purchase Ancient History Cookbook and American History Cookbook at Amazon.com and PowerlineProd.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome back. So exciting to keep on talking about this because I love adventure unless someone gets hurt or something explodes, which I told you about earlier. And again, I just want to say again, the reason I titled the show The Kitchen Explosion is realize that some of the things you try, they just won't work or they'll backfire or something will break. And it's okay. Don't let a few kitchen explosion take away your quest for adventure, but have fun with your kids. You know, I really think the number one thing I loved about homeschooling is that we had so much fun. I loved reading out loud to my kids. I loved learning. I loved doing projects with them. It was really, really fun. And we have so many good memories. So what are some more things you can do to live the adventure of homeschooling? One is that you can travel. You know, learning never takes a vacation. And I'm a big museum person. My parents, they took me to every museum that we ever passed. I remember going to Sagamore Hill, Teddy Roosevelt's house, President Teddy Roosevelt. And it was so beautiful. The scenery was so beautiful. But the house was so thrilling. And I really felt like after I got out of that museum, and that was before the days when you could touch and feel stuff. I mean, now they always have, they're so child-friendly. But this was still hands-off. But wow, I had such a different impression of Teddy Roosevelt. I almost felt close to him. Hey, dude, I've been in your house. I know where you live. I don't know. I know he's dead and all. But it's just, it's really exciting, I think, to visit museums and homes. And when we went to the British Museum, I went with my older girls. Wow. I mean, the British have just plundered treasures from all over the world. So you walk in, and there you are. And there's this door from Assyria. And it is like so tall that 10 of you could stand on top of each other and it wouldn't reach the top. It's just amazing, amazing, amazing. And to see, you know, the mummies and all that stuff. Anyway, super cool. So I love museums. And so whenever we go anywhere, I always say, oh, what museum is nearby? If we're going to the beach, is there a pirate museum? Is there a seashell museum? Is there a Mariner Museum? Is there a lighthouse that we can climb? I always want to go to the museum. And so we've kind of made a deal in my family, like we get one museum day. And so that's my day. I plan it. Everyone has a cheerful attitude. And then the rest of the vacation we play. But I love museums. And there are so many neat, neat, neat ones. The Science Center, where you just walk through these big displays that are body parts. I love that. So cool. Even the zoo. I love going to the zoo. That's not a museum, but it's so fun to see all the animals. So traveling locally, traveling long distance. We love to stay at the beach. Every few years we'll go and we'll rent a condo at the beach. And one of the last times we went, we took our married daughter and her two sons. And so we went out late on the beach and we had flashlights. And the secret is that you walk along in the dark, and of course you have to hold the kid's hand so they don't get scared, and hold my hand so I don't get scared. And then you take the light and you shine it right on the sand, and the little sand crabs, they come running out, you know, and they go right into the water because they see the light. And I guess, I don't know, they think you're a big ship or something, or maybe they think you're going to come and eat them for dinner. But anyway, they scurry away, and so you can chase them. And so that's super, super fun. You can collect shells. You can collect driftwood. I found this super big log, and it was so smooth by the ocean. And so I lugged it and lugged it and lugged it all the way back to the condo, but it was vetoed because they actually found bugs in it. It was so disappointing. Traveling, like I said, just going somewhere simple like the beach. Or how about this? SeaWorld passes. That's local. Like, we live near SeaWorld. But what fun. We would go once a month with another family, and we had so much fun. And it wasn't just the rides, but there's the penguins, and there's the fish, and there's the shark, and there's just all these exciting exhibits. And we really learned a lot that year about sea life, and we had a blast, and we had fun with our friends. I love reading books, too, and we did do that. I think we were actually doing an oceanography unit study that year. But it was, we just made so many fun memories traveling to SeaWorld and back, because it's about an hour drive from our house, maybe 45 minutes. But anyway, another thing, this is kind of a neat thing my dad did. We were going to an Orinoco reunion up in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh, and we, of course, live in Florida. And so my dad, he says, you know, I can't find a one-way trip to Pittsburgh, but there's a one-way flight from Puerto Rico to Pittsburgh. And so he said, you know what, I just think that we're going to leave early and we're going to go to Puerto Rico, and that way we can take a one-way flight and we won't have to stop. And I was thinking, is he kidding? But no, he wasn't. So the whole family, we go to Puerto Rico, and, you know, we see San Juan, we walk, see the old fort, we walk down the hill, and this was long, long ago. This is in the 60s, right? So pina coladas aren't like the rage they are like now. Now they're just old hat. But back then, we would go, and everywhere we went, my sister and I would get virgin pina coladas with a little stick in it with a pineapple and a cherry. I remember that. But I just remember it being so beautiful. And then Daddy said, okay, we're going to go on a plane ride, and we're going to fly over St. Thomas, and you're going to get to have a bird's eye view of it. And sure enough, we did. And I really felt like, wow, what a spur of the minute thing, you know? And my dad worked for the airline, so it was very inexpensive. We stayed at a really inexpensive hotel. So your parents may not work at the airlines. You may not work at the airlines. Your husband may not work at the airlines. But there's other things you have available to you. So take advantage of those things. And if you can do something spontaneous, don't do it all the time, because every one of us, we have those people in our families that are like, we have not planned for this. Ah! And so you don't want to be too spontaneous. But when you can be spontaneous, it's really fun. And so that was just such a neat memory in our mind. And the plane trip was super, super long. But it was back in the old days when there was this big 747, and it had a staircase going upstairs. It was so exciting. So typical 60s, you know. But we had such a blast, and that memory is etched in my mind forever. I'm so glad my dad was spontaneous and he said, hey, let's travel. Another thing that makes learning an adventure, and this is one of my favorites, I love to throw a party. And so whenever we study for something, I always try to come up with an idea. We're studying the Middle Ages. What can we do? What can we do? Oh, we'll have a medieval banquet, and we'll have jousting with pool noodles, and we'll set up all the tables, and we'll have a king and a queen, and we did it. And so it's like I dream it, and then I share with my friend Laura and my kids, and they're like, okay, well, we need to do this, this, and this, and this, and then pretty soon, boom, we're having a medieval banquet. So exciting. When we're studying the 20th century, of course, we had to have a sock hop. We had to have a roaring 20s party. We had to have a luau. We have to have all those things because they just are fun. And why not? Say you don't even know other homeschoolers studying that. Just invite people. Like, we'll just invite our friends. We'll invite adults or people with little children, because everything doesn't have to be the drill. And okay, well, right now we're going to, okay, before we start this party, we're just going to have a little lesson on the Middle Ages. You know, actually in preparing for the party and figuring out the recipes and figuring out what to wear, you do tons and tons of research for the Middle Ages. So it's pretty exciting, or whatever party you're doing. So we've had luau's, we've had Victorian teas, we've had Olympic games, we've had a Passover feast. We've had a sock hop and a literary party, and this was kind of cool. My daughter, when she turned either 18 or 21, I can't remember which party, but anyway, she wanted to have a literary party, so everyone came as their favorite character from a book. So we had Sherlock Holmes, we had the Pride and Prejudice gang, we had Tom Sawyer, we had Pippi Longstocking. We just had the neatest time. And of course, everybody who came, who picked out their favorite literary character, you know what they were thinking. Oh my goodness, I love this book. And so you would say, well, who are you dressed up as? who am I, Josepas? I'm Anne of Green Gables. And then they'll give you this big, long spiel about the book, Anne of Green Gables, and what happened. And anyway, it ends up being really educational, the party itself. But I think that's really cool. And we invited a ton of adults. We had about 50 people there of all ages. So everybody was talking about their favorite characters and why they loved them. And it was really, really cool. And I think all the kids that came, they got such a different impression of the world of books. So anyway, oh, there is so much more, but I wanted to keep it short. And I just want you to know, homeschooling is a lifetime of learning. And that lifetime of learning is an adventure. And I know other things make it an adventure too, like trials and different things you go through or exciting, happy things you get to do. But I encourage you, embrace the adventure. And if things go wrong, like my kitchen explosion, we ended up after 2 years of fighting with the insurance company, we ended up with a new ceiling, with the new cabinets and new counters and all of that. And so everything in the end worked out fine. But I stepped out to just be a little daring and do something a little different. And you can do that too. And I hope that you know, yes, that didn't go well. But most of the stuff I've tried, it's been really fun. And we've had a good time. And I really believe that God gave us all things to richly enjoy. And I believe that when we know Jesus and we enjoy everything on the planet, life is just fun. And even when things are hard, there's still life is an adventure and life is fun. And I hope you will have a wonderful homeschooling adventure. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.